In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Like I told the kids, through Lent, we will be looking at the I Am statements made by Jesus throughout his ministry and recorded in John's Gospel. One commentator pointed this out and was like, oh, light bulb moment. That Jesus, using the words I Am, was deeply significant. The last time you heard some deity say, I am, was in the burning bush experience with Moses when Moses said, but who are you? And he said, I am who I am. It's the voice that spoke to Moses. It's the one, the great one, who saved Israel from captivity and the bondage and slavery in Egypt. So for Jesus to use those words invoked very meaningful memories for the people to whom he was speaking, memories of the God who had provided salvation when they needed it the most. Today we look at the statement, I am the Good Shepherd. Now, when Jesus made this statement, I am the Good Shepherd, he put it in contrast with the role of the hired hand, and explained that the good shepherd was the one who would lay down his life for his sheep, while the hired hand was the one who ran away and fended for himself when the wolf came. This then begs the question, what makes the shepherd good? Or more specifically, what does good exactly mean in this context? The word good, of course, has a couple of different connotations. On the one hand, it measures proficiency. If you are good at something, then you are able to perform a task with a certain level of proficiency. He did a good job on his homework. She skated a good race at the Olympics. They gave a good performance at the dance recital. On the other hand, good can be a marker of character. If someone is a good person, then they generally display characteristics of love and courage and prudence and self-determination and are found to be consistently working toward the common good. She is a good friend. He is a good neighbor. They are good family members. She consistently does good deeds and lives a good life. To be good, to be in a good place relationally, in a relationship, one could argue, it requires being both kinds of good. You need to be proficient and possess good character. So then the question becomes, how good is good enough? If goodness is a measure of proficiency and character, then what is being measured when we look at the good shepherd, and what makes the shepherd good? Proficiently, a shepherd's role is to lead and guide and feed and protect his sheep and to seek them when they are lost. Characteristically, the shepherd is to put the well-being of the flock before his very own. Jesus, declaring himself to be the good shepherd, then, is proficient in these things and consistently acts in this manner. This Jesus puts in contrast to the hired hand, who is described by Jesus as one who runs away and leaves the sheep to fend for themselves. The hired hand is not proficient in leading, guiding, feeding, or protecting the sheep, and does not put the well-being of the sheep ahead of his own self-care. Ultimately, then, the shepherd cares for others, and the hired hand cares for himself. In a way, the good shepherd, then, is likened to a first responder, running into the sheepfold, risking his own life for the sake of saving the sheep. Now, when we think of first responders, I don't know about you, but for me, the image that comes to mind are those are the ones who are running in when everybody else is running out. You think of first responders, and the images that come to mind are those major tragic disasters. September 11th, the Boston Marathon bombing, school shooting in Florida. Thinking about this, the first major disaster that I remember firsthand is the Oklahoma City bombing in the spring of 1995. I can picture where I was in that day clearly. It was our first spring break in Troy after we'd moved downstate from Reed City. It was the week after Easter, back when spring break followed Easter, before the state decided to put it on the same week every year. I remember sitting in the family room at 896 Muir in Troy with Grandpa. He had fixed me my cup of coffee, which of course was mostly milk warmed up in the microwave with a bunch of sugar. And he always put more coffee in it to add a little more color to it than Grandma did, so I always liked Grandpa's coffee better. Anyway, we were getting ready. We'd had breakfast. We were having coffee. We were getting ready to watch The Price is Right, which my grandfather did religiously until Bob Barker retired. He could not get behind Drew. That's all right. But they cut in, and we didn't see The Price is Right because somebody decided to blow up a building in Oklahoma City. Of all of the images from that day, I think the one that stands out most in my mind is not the one that won prizes of the fireman holding the dead child, but rather of the first responders climbing through the rubble looking for people, looking for victims, looking for survivors, looking for anybody. Nowadays, we'd be quick to turn off the TV and protect kids from seeing such things. We wouldn't let Lydia and Christopher and Miles and Lucy and Caroline and everybody and Ivan and everyone else, we wouldn't let them see it. It's too dangerous. It's too dark. It's too deep. But Grandpa had been a volunteer fireman for 14 years for the city of Troy, and he was glued to it. And while I couldn't tell in that moment as a 9-year-old, I can tell looking back just how much it affected him and why he was so glued to it. It was the same way he was glued to the TV 6.5 years later. And what he later told Mom and I was that he desperately wanted to go to New York City. He desperately wanted to go and help, but he couldn't because his role was to be at home with my brothers and I and Grandma, who'd just broken her femur and the whole nine yards. If we reflect on the Good Shepherd as first responder, it makes me wonder, am I brave enough to be more like the shepherd, or will I run away like the hired hand? As Christians, we're called to put on Christ, which as far as I can tell means acting more as Christ would. Like those bracelets, what would Jesus do? If we are to act as Christ would act, then that means acting more like the shepherd and less like the hired hand. We'd be more willing to run into the places and situations where everyone else runs out from. And there, my friends, is the problem. By and large, we are more likely to act like the hired hand and less like the shepherd. The going gets tough and we run in the opposite direction. Or worse, we stand by and moan about how it never will get any better, so what's the point? Why bother? We try to put the blame somewhere else, really anywhere else. It's a bit like being an armchair quarterback. We sit back comfortably and point at the news on the TV and say, why doesn't someone do something about that? Friends, it's not going to change unless we get in there and help make it change. Unless we get in there and do something to be an agent of change. So really, what is the point? Why does it matter? Because Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, really is all about salvation. Listen to what else Jesus had to say about being the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I give up my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that don't belong to this sheep pen, and I must lead them too. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me. I give up my life so that I can take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I give it up because I want to. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it up again. I received this commandment from my Father. It was understood that the original readers of John's gospel would have known that Jesus was alluding to his death and resurrection. The key here is that Jesus gave up his life for his sheep, for his people. He gave up his life. It wasn't taken from him. It wasn't a decision made for him, but rather a decision made by him. No one takes it from me, but I give it up because I want to. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it up again. I receive this commandment from my Father. Jesus' ultimate priority as the Good Shepherd is the well-being of his sheep, even the sheep that are not members of that particular sheep pen. So then, as the Good Shepherd, Jesus' role is not simply to die, no, but to risk his life on behalf of his sheep. He continues to teach and heal even when his teaching and healing puts threats on his life. John understood Jesus' death to be consistent with his life, that his death resulted from the risk he took out of love for his sheep. The love that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has for his sheep is a self-sacrificing love, and that, my friends, is a gift that cannot be coerced. It has to be freely given. It has to be purely a one-person thing to give up your own life for something. And it's that self-sacrifice that Jesus gave willing so that his sheep might be saved. So what does it mean to be loved by a God whose ultimate priority is all of us sheep? Especially when God making us a priority can be a difficult notion to trust, especially when we are filled with despair for our world, and when there are so many other voices out there who are influencing us and yet are only interested in themselves. Now, the fact of the matter is this: we are loved. We are so loved. We are so loved. And our God loves us with a love that we can never be separated from. It's exactly what Paul said in Romans. And if you've gotten an email from my personal email address, you've read this. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's because of that love, because of that inseparable love, through that inseparable love, we have been forgiven. We have been set free to live rightly, to live the good life. And through this, we are empowered to do what is right. We are empowered to be more like the good shepherd and less like the hired hand. We know love by this, it says it in 1 John. We know love by this, that Christ laid down his life for us. So perhaps then, those who would be more like the good shepherd could do more to show that love in return. Instead of dismissing the needy, provide the warm meal and the comfy blanket. Instead of bemoaning the undereducated, offer ways and means to gain an education. Instead of sitting back and saying, "How long, O Lord, must we wait until you fix this?" maybe we should be putting together a plan and acting on it for how we can be God's hands and feet in this world and help bring about the changes that are needed. And instead of simply seeking to be like the Good Shepherd, maybe spend a little more time intentionally getting to know who that Good Shepherd is. So who's with me? Let's put on Christ like we're called to do. Let's step up and do something instead of sitting back and complaining that nothing ever changes. Let's spend time getting to know our God and Savior better, because that's where the confidence to be more like Christ comes from. And when we spend time getting to know him better, that's how we get the kids to know him better. That's how we spread the gospel. That's how we share the love of God. That's how we're the beacons of light. And maybe, just maybe, God will use us to be the agents of the change we are so desperately seeking. Maybe, just maybe, the answer to "How long, O Lord," will be, "Kid, it's now." Amen.